Let's just pray. Gracious Lord, we just give you thanks for this moment. Lord, we just ask that you open up your word for us today, that we may hear it fresh and new, that you may speak peace into our lives today. Oh Lord, we just pray this in your holy name. Amen. Now we are in our fourth week in our preaching series, looking at the good news found in the gospel. That is in the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a way of leading into that story of Christmas, of the birth of Jesus. And this week, what I'd like to do is to actually explore what it means for us that Jesus brings peace. As I say this, I'm actually really keenly aware that we live in a world where we are living in a world that has conflict. Do people kind of agree with me on that? We live in a world where there's conflict. Actually, I actually Googled how much conflict there is in the world. And there's an organization called the Geneva Academy that actually monitors armed conflicts that happen around the world. Now, as of when I did this, I looked at it yesterday, so it's a day old. There is over 110 armed conflicts happening around our world today. We live in a world where there is conflict, where we would say there's an absence of peace, wouldn't we? We live in a really lucky country. Let me tell you that. We're one of the countries that doesn't have armed conflict. Not internal, not external. We don't have that kind of armed conflict. But let me say this. Christmas time here in Australia is not always a bed of roses. Christmas time, we have a different kind of conflict that happens. And I hate to say this. Over our December-January holiday period, domestic violence increases by over 25% here in Australia. And saying all this, and I don't know about you, when I hear that, when I hear about the conflict that's happening around the world, when I hear about the violence that's happening in homes around Australia, my heart breaks. My heart breaks for that. And let me tell you that God's heart breaks for that as well. And it's been breaking through all time when we've been in conflict with one another, when this has been happening. But the good news is that God came into the world as a baby, and through that, everything has changed. I know we jumped to John 3:16, but I want us to go to that verse after John 3:16. Let me just read it to you, because when we think about Jesus coming as a baby, coming and bringing peace, we need to think about why that is. And how God's heart has been breaking for the world that has been in conflict for so long. And we want restoration. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, the birth of Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. To bring salvation through Jesus. Jesus is the one that brings peace, but not as the world knows us. I want to share with you again that passage from Micah, from chapter 5, verses 2 to the first part of verse 5. And it's an announcement. It's a prophecy of a Messiah coming, somebody to save in the midst of conflict and struggle. This announcement, this prophecy, is in the midst of struggle. And I love how it comes and it says this. And notice a couple of things. We'll put it up on the screen for you. And it says here, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, only a small village among all the people of Judah. So it's actually going in Bethlehem that we know will be born a child. This is where it's happening. Yet a ruler of Israel, the Messiah, whose origins are in the distant parts will come from you on my behalf. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth, until a child is born. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored among the world, and he will be the source of peace. Thanks, Glenda, for that illustration of the source of peace this morning. And the source of peace. Jesus will be that source of peace. You know, if we actually have a look through the Bible, we'll actually find that not only is Jesus announced as a source of peace, that it's actually, that's the good news that we have. That it's actually found in numerous locations throughout the Bible that Jesus is to bring the peace. And none more so than if we were to have a look at Isaiah 9, chapter 6, the announcement of Jesus, the Prince of Peace that comes. It's one of the Bible readings we hear each Christmas time, a prophecy of the Messiah of Jesus coming. And it says to this, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is the birth, the promise that we have. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now, this description that Isaiah has of Jesus as the Prince of Peace is actually, and we'll put the Hebrew up for you, so we'll skip over the next slide, and there we go. The Prince of Peace, the Hebrew for that is Shah Shalom. And it's actually a bit of a juxtaposition here. Shah Shalom, Shah is the actual meaning of a mighty ruler, of almost like a warlord, of a conquering king. We translate it as prince. It has a much nicer feel to it than Shah Shalom does. But Shalom is that reference to calm and tranquility of individuals, of groups, of a whole nation. It's not just peace, but it's that tranquility and calm that comes from it. How do we know that, you know, even going deeper into this and more foundational, and the meaning that we have is that spiritual harmony is brought about by our individual restoration with God. We find peace in our lives when we have our relationship with God restored. And we know we have our relationship with God restored through the actions of Jesus. He brings peace to us. It flows within us no matter what the circumstances, that peace, if we let that relationship of God take hold. That this peace that Jesus is talking about is found in John's Gospel, where we've had read this morning, where Jesus is telling disciples about a promise that's to come of the Holy Spirit. And part of that promise is that we will have peace of mind and heart, not a worldly peace, but an internal peace, no matter what's going on. And we'll put that back up on the screen. It should be the next reading. John 14, verses 23 to 27. I just want to focus on the first little bit and the last little bit of this verse. And Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and will come and make our home with each of them." Notice that? Notice what is that so important part of that? It's the love that happens. It's God's love will be within you and will make a home with you. And you will love God and God will love us and flow through there. "Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me, and remember my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate," we know that is the Holy Spirit, "as my representative," that is the Holy Spirit, "he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." And then he makes this promise, "I'm leaving with a gift of peace of mind and heart. Notice that the Holy Spirit, God dwelling within us, working through us, will give us that peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. So often what happens when we talk about peace, we think about this big, nebulous, global thing that's going on, and we go, what can we do? And then we think about the situations that happen around in our own country, and go, what can we do? We can step up and do things, but we need to take that moment of what is the peace that is sitting in our own lives. So what I want to do today is push into our lives today, our individual lives today, and kind of explain how we find peace in a world that's full of conflict. That seems to, that no matter what you do, that it's so easy to offend somebody and create conflict and at a drop of a hat. Last weekend, Annette and I had the privilege of attending, well, actually all of our family did, but attending my niece's wedding in Denmark, WA. A quick trip in, that's why we weren't here last week. But it was like a 5-hour drive from Perth Airport down to where it is. You know, WA is a big state. And part of that, we listened to a book. We love, you know, and that I've got into listening as we drive any distance. Put on an audiobook, it makes the kilometres disappear. But we were listening to this audiobook, and one thing that came up was that there was a character in there, the main character, was concerned that they would fall foul of other people's opinion of themselves. That they, you know, if they posted something on social media or did something, they would be cancelled. There's this whole thing about if you offend somebody, you may be cancelled, this whole cancel culture. We live in a time when people are really quick to judge, to condemn, to call out others and be offended. And so we walk on eggshells sometimes. But I want to say this to you. If you're always looking for something to be offended by, you will always find what you're looking for. So if you're looking for something to be offended by, you will find it. But let me say this. We will be offended by people, by situations, by circumstances. We will find offense in things. It is inevitable. That's a hard word to say sometimes. It is inevitable. But here's the thing. Living offended is a choice that you make. Living offended is the choice that you make. It is in our power to decide how we respond to what is happening around us. Of how we let the peace of God, the love of God, God's Holy Spirit resting upon us, change our lives. The Apostle Paul actually gives us advice on how we can choose to live not offended, but rather living in peace. So we're going to put up Romans 12:14-18. There's lots of Bible verses for us today. You know, this is a topic that just flows through the Bible. Romans 12:14-18, and let me read it for you. But those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it is, depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Here's Paul's advice to the Roman church and to us about how we can live not offended and live in peace. There's a radical shift in letting the love of God change our life. Notice this, bless those who persecute you. You know, back in that time, there was this whole notion of if somebody offends you, you've got to retaliate. Have you ever retaliated verbally to a comment of negativity towards you? I hear some murmurs. So I gather that's kind of yes. You're not allowed to nudge your partner and go, that's you, because, you know, that's not what we do here. But, you know, we don't want to amp up the conflict. We want to respond in the way we love one another with this. You know, the love of God changes our lives. And as we do this, we'll actually know peace that is beyond that world, our world's understanding. Bless those that persecute you. You know, we hear the saying, turn the other's cheek. That's what it is, isn't it? It's actually going, somebody's offending me. What I'm going to do is I'm not going to retaliate back to that. I'm actually going to turn the other cheek. But I'm going to go even further than that. I'm going to seek a blessing on your life. I'm actually going to say, I want the best for you. Not even just to just ignore it, but actually go, I want the best for you. That's radically different to the world, the way the world operates. If we're being slighted, we take our fair chunk back from it. When situations we are starting to come into conflict, the thing that we need to do is learn to seek to understand the other person's perspective. And I love the way Paul kind of phrases this in terms of how do we show empathy? How do we show understanding to the other person's position? You know, Paul puts it, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Now, when we start to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, we're showing empathy with them. We're showing there's a level of understanding. You're seeking to understand that person's position and what they're feeling and joining with them. In that, it's not placing us as the center. It's actually saying we want to live in peace with those around us. Let me say this. Jesus didn't tell us to be right. Let me say that once again. Jesus didn't tell us to be right. He actually commanded us to love God with all our heart, with all our mind and all our soul. And what else? To love our neighbor as ourselves. What was Jesus' command? Was to love. He didn't command us to go and be right at all possible costs. He wants us to be loving. If we want to live in peace in our lives, then we need to start to live our life with a love of God at our core. And we do this by not trying to seek to win every argument. Rather, we love seeks to protect the relationship. Rather than seeking to win an argument, we want to protect the relationship. Notice this, what Paul says. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, notice that, notice the way we're phrasing there, live at peace with each other, with everyone. So this Christmas time, I don't know about your family, what's it like at Christmas? Whether you've got the weird uncle that turns up at Christmas that will always create an argument. We're having a bit of a... Annette and I caught up with a friend and she was telling us about a brother-in-law and he always loves to argue. Even if he's wrong, he wants to argue. I don't know whether you've got somebody like that within your family. And Christmas, this time of celebration and coming together, it tends to bring out the worst of people sometimes. And we tend to be, you know, with all the stress and the time and trying to get everything right and perfect, we don't show love. We don't try and live in peace. This Christmas time, may we live as God's Holy Spirit flowing through us, so that we may have the love of God that will bring a greater understanding. May we know that Jesus is the one who comes to bring a radical peace to the world by bringing a radical peace to our lives. When our life changes, the world starts to change. When others know the love of God, the world starts to change. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.